Today's talk is called Returns and Exchanges. How appropriate after Christmas, right? I know probably not you, but other people probably went to the stores last week taking their gifts that really weren't quite right for them and returning them or exchanging them for something that they really did want. But they probably never told the other person. So they probably got half the value of it. They didn't want to tell them, hey, I'm returning this thing you got me. So it's interesting, though, when you return things, they say, what is your reason for returning it? And you might say, well, it just didn't fit. It's not my favorite. You know, it didn't work the way I expected it to work. Things like that. It didn't turn out the way I thought. Or I think it really was something they wanted that they got for me. You might not write all that down. Let me tell you what I think about this person. No, you probably won't do that. But you do have to give a reason. And you do understand that you could just put it in your closet or in storage or whatever, because you don't want to hurt the other person's feeling, and I'm not suggesting that you do. But it takes up space then. And something that you have to manage or maintain or move around, or you can't fit something else in there because this is taking up space. And how wonderful it would be if we could just look at our own lives and say, why don't I look at my own life the way I do of things that come into my life, just things that even I might have picked out thinking I would like that don't work so well? What about, isn't my life really more important than that? That thing? So if something isn't a good fit for me, should I keep trying to wear it? Whether that's a relationship or a job or whatever it is, a living environment, whatever it is, if it no longer fits me, maybe it fit me at one time, but it doesn't fit anymore, do I have to keep it just because at one time I made a choice to do something like that? Or can I change my mind about it? I had some friends over the other night, and Chris was over. And she was getting ready to leave because she had to leave earlier. And the coat closet was filled with different coats. And this always happens with leather coats. But she's talking to me and she's like struggling with this coat. And finally she goes, this isn't my coat. It doesn't fit me. And I thought, that is so true. So often we're trying to wear somebody else's idea of what life should be, and it doesn't really fit us at all, and we can struggle with it, but life becomes much harder. And I'm sure she could have forced herself into the coat and go out like this, walking around. She wouldn't be able to pick anything up or do anything, but she would have had the coat on. But then somebody else would have come over and said, this coat's too big for me. This isn't my coat. What's going on? I guess I gotta go and get it altered to fit me. It's gonna cost a lot to alter this leather coat to make it work for me. And I always love the way life is teaching us all the time in the most obvious ways without here. You know, there's always a lesson. Nature's teaching us, just our everyday experiences are teaching us. Isn't it better when you get clothes that fit you in your favorite colors, that energize you, that make you feel good, that you feel comfortable in, so you're not even thinking about them, so that you can do your life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful when we sit in our spaces and we look around and we see objects that we love, that energize us, as opposed to clutter and mess? The two can't exist really together, because when you have things that you love surrounded by clutter and mess, you really don't even see it anymore. So one of the rituals I've been doing whenever New Year's Eve came along and I'm getting ready to go into the new year is I thought, what is it that I need to let go of to return or exchange for something else? What do I need to burn up not angry at it, but I'm done with it. And it's time for it to be transformed into something else. And as long as I keep that there, the something else can't come in. As long as I'm angry, joy can't come in. But if I say I'm ready to release the anger, or I would love to release the anger, it can now go somewhere. And how do I release it? Do I suddenly not get angry about something? Or do I instead find a new perspective about what happened, and I exchange the new perspective for the old perspective? I get them. It's like, no, that story drained me, and I did not love myself, and I couldn't love others in that state of mind. So I had to like find a story that empowered me and allowed me to have compassion for them and for myself. And that's how I'm not angry anymore. Or guilt. It made sense for me to have that guilt at that time, but it's not serving me, and joy cannot come in while guilt is there. So I need to have a new story. I need to exchange the old story for a new story so that joy can come in. Not things. But if it was things, we would know it so easily. But it is things. Because thoughts are things. They become an actual thing, and that thing it becomes is our life. And we have the ability to, whether it's midnight going into the new year, or whether it's this moment, to say, I'm ready to release that and exchange it for something else. We just have to be willing to do it. And a lot of times, because we've been living a life that really doesn't fit us, we don't even know how it has impaired us until we shrug it off. And we might not even know how to shrug it off. And we don't have to know how. We just have to be willing to shrug it off. And then we let it go. We let it go up in smoke. We let it turn into ash. We do whatever. But it is as thin as that piece of paper, as thin as that ash that when you touch it, it dissolves. It is as transparent as the smoke, because it really is just a veil. It's just something we're wearing that we can take off. And as Rumi says, a lot of life is really just removing the veils. That's all we're doing. We're taking off one after another so we can see more clearly what's really going on, and that every experience doesn't have to be judged as good or bad at all. We have the ability to rewrite a story where we see where it moved us along. We can see where, oh, I didn't listen to my inner voice. I won't do that again. That's how I created that. Or I'm in a soul agreement, a lesson with others. Or I'm going to change up the dynamic about this. This adds purpose to my life. I can use it for good. The other day I went into Savers, and there was a woman there who had all kinds of piercings, and she had a little boy who was probably about 7 years old. He was not happy. Everything he wanted, his mother said, no, I'm going to buy everything here. And all these toys and stuff, I'm giving them to children who will really appreciate it. Children that are homeless. I'm going to give this to other children because you don't appreciate anything. And I was thinking, whoa, wow, that poor kid, right? So I wanted to go over and tell her how awful she was. That was my first thing, right? You are a horrible mother. you are going to make some therapists very happy. Many therapists very happy. You are messing him up for life. And I thought, no, she's not messing him up for life. Dana, what do you believe? Do you believe that as souls we come in here and we are in soul agreement and we learn things together and that family dynamic was part of our free will stepping into this? Or do you believe we're all just victims and everything just happens to us? Is it not possible that this child is going to take that and become that therapist who is able to help others because he has an experience, and when he realizes his past does not define him, he can share that with other people, just as we have, right? Just as we have. We're learning it ourselves. We've learned it. We have compassion for other people going through it. We need it. How do we get from here to there if we don't live it? But at some point, we exchange the past for the future. We realize we're finished with it. And thank God there were other people in our lives who could say, I saw you struggling and I knew you could do it. I got through it and I know you can too. We need that. Can you imagine being alone where you were the only one who had the bad childhood? Can you imagine being the only one who can't relate to the Norman Rockwell picture? That's exactly what my family looked like. We were all happy all the time and everything was perfect and it always snowed on Christmas and it was all wonderful. How do we get into a place of compassion and love and joy if we don't have others to share it with? What good is compassion without somebody to share it with? What good is love without somebody to share it with? What good is joy without somebody to share it with? Right? We need each other. We may at some point decide that some of the people that have come into our lives, we need to exchange because they no longer fit us. That may happen. And when we do that, it doesn't mean we did something bad to the other person. It means both of you needed to go. It was time. Your time together was complete. It doesn't mean that later on you might not join again as friends or family. It doesn't mean that. Nothing's, we always want to say, okay, that's it. That chapter's closed. It's over. And that's not true. But as long as we believe we're victims and we're not ready to let that go up into smoke, we will keep attracting things that make sense to a victim mentality. So one of the things we want to release is the belief that we're victims and let it go so that we can allow what we truly are, which is empowered souls, to step forward. And we don't have to figure out how to do that at all. But we cannot be a victim and empowered at the same time. Something's got to go. We got to return or exchange it from wherever it came from with a more empowering story. And then all of a sudden, our life can take off again. Does this make sense? We don't realize thoughts are things. They take up space. They prevent what you want from coming in. If we want to let go of weight, we have to ask ourselves, what am I waiting for? I'm ready to release. You know what it is that you've been waiting for. You know what it is. And you have to let it go. So what I wrote on here were some things that we can maybe look at the new year together at. It's at the end of the program there. Just things to kind of sit and think about and write down. Give yourself some time. As much time as you would spend in the target line returning something, Can we give ourselves that much time to sit with ourselves? What are you ready to let go of? What are you ready to receive? What could you return to others? What have others given you that should stay theirs? Does that make sense? If we're codependent, we will find ourselves taking over their healing for them. We will completely get out of our boat, climb into their boat, start rowing their boat for them. And the boat isn't big enough for both of you. These are single boats we're rowing, and nobody's rowing yours. And it's going adrift because you can't be in their boat and your boat at the same time. So you have to give up being in their boat and say, I respect you and honor you and your boat, your life, your lessons. I know you can do this. I'm going to get back in my boat where I belonged. Right? This doesn't mean we don't help others when they need help, but often the codependent is helping when they don't need help. They're ready to help. And what we're doing is we're taking the lesson away from the person so that they can't figure out that they can do it themselves. We end up feeling good for a while, and then it doesn't work. And we get mad at them because they're not healing fast enough. They're not listening to us, and they're not doing everything we thought they should do. And now we're angry. We're in their boat, and we're angry that we're in their boat. Anger is good, because anger says, get out of this boat. You weren't supposed to be in there. So at Savers, I could walk over to the woman, get in her boat, in that lesson of those two, and tell her how bad she was as a mother. Or I could feel around my pocket for my 30% off coupon because I donated some stuff. I can walk up to her, which was totally counterintuitive to my personality, and say, I've got this 30% coupon if you want it. She said, are you for real? And I said, yes. Man, you rock. Her feeling better about the world is going to make her feel better, right? Her thinking that good can come out of nowhere is a good thing. Me telling her she's a terrible mother will take her down and he will go with her. Does that make sense? So we look around for an opportunity to do good, not to rescue, not to climb in their boat, but just say, I'm not using this. If you want it, you can have it. Just a simple thing like that. To go against what our personality wants to do, which is judge, and to instead see the God within everyone, to see the sacred within everyone. Back to our list. What feelings are you ready to release? If you're not ready, you're not ready. It's not that we shouldn't have our feelings. When we have completely had our feelings and acknowledged our feelings, and we are ready, we'll know it. Doesn't mean we shouldn't have our full range of feelings. It just means at some point it may become such a habit that we don't even occur to us that we really want to feel something different. But the two feelings can't live together. How would you love to be in this world? Would you like to move around the world peaceful and joyful? And see life as an adventure? That would be a nice thing. Where would you love to go? Is there some place that you always thought I would love to go, whether it's in St. Louis? When's the last time you went to the zoo in the spring or summertime? When's the last time you went to the botanical garden? Have you always wanted to go to Greece? Where is it? And you don't think about it. How am I going to get it? Where am I going to get the money to do it? When am I going to get the time to do it? You first decide you want to do it. And then you're done with it. That is the hardest part for our personality. We are such doers. Okay, now I can get to work on this. And that's not how it works. As soon as you decide, and you know this, as soon as you decide you would love to have something come in your life, coincidentally, you run into somebody who talks about that exact thing. Or you open up an article, or you turn on the TV, and it happens to be a movie about Greece. You know, it's like all of a sudden it starts coming in. Or you meet people, or somebody tells you how inexpensive it is. Or you meet some crazy, attractive Greek man who invites you to come over there and live on his yacht. You don't know. You don't know. Now, some of you guys might not want that. Or some incredible Greek goddess, okay? You don't know. See, that's the thing. We think we have to figure it out when actually our good wants to rush in and it's bigger and more magnificent and easier than we think. But because we walk around holding the thought, it's hard, easy can't come in. Because it's hard to make money. Money can't come in easily. How much does the universe care about paper money? Zip. What's the difference to it between $1 million and a dollar? Zip. It's us. We're the ones that have that thought. We would have to exchange that dollar thought for $1 million. As long as we believe it's hard and we don't have enough, it's something that would be wonderful to put up in smoke. Okay, what would you love to do? We just decide, and then we let it go. Does that make sense? And that's today's talk. Thank you very much.